Well, I'll add my welcome this morning. So glad to be worshiping with you today. At a time when many are skeptical about the church, we've been spending the past few weeks learning what the church really is and how God designed it to function. And over these weeks, we've learned that God designed the church to be a loving community where everyone has a place to belong, where everyone supports each other, encourages one another, works together. Now, it's one thing to hear this and another to feel it. It's one thing to know this is true and quite another to experience this truth in our everyday lives. And that's why we're wrapping up this series by focusing on small groups. Because in Good Shepherd, we truly believe small groups are one of the best ways to feel and experience the true nature of God's church. If you're not familiar with the term, small groups are literally that, a small group of people who meet regularly to pray, study scripture, talk about the relevance of the Bible, and support each other through the highs and lows of life. And small groups really are one of the best ways to feel and experience the true nature of God's church. I can attest to this personally. Some of you heard the story about my basement flooding. After we came to Good Shepherd, we purchased a home in the area. Before we had a chance to even move in, we got the devastating news that our basement had flooded. I arrived on scene to find our finished basement filled with standing water. I felt sick to my stomach. I wondered where God was and why God allowed this to happen. After all, I was going to work for the church, right? Have you ever felt like that? I paced back and forth upstairs trying to figure out what I would do when I stumbled across the coin that was lying on the floor. I was always taught that when you come across the coin, you pick it up and you read it because it has the words, "In God we trust." And that coin reminded me to pause and pray for God's help. In that moment, I sensed God leading me to reach out to my small group buddies. So I sent a quick email to the men from my Christ Renews His Parish small group, and I sent out an email to the people who are in my weekly home small group. Within minutes, no kidding, my house was filled with people, draining water, ripping out carpet, tearing down wet drywall, clearing out the mess. A week later, they came back to put up new drywall, paint, repair the basement. I can't properly articulate how much that meant to me. As a pastor, I often help other people going through crisis. And that was one of the first times when I truly experienced the church rallying around our family, where I truly felt the loving support of God through His people, the church. I've had many other moments through small groups where I've been able to feel and experience the true nature of God's church. Over the years, I've developed friendships in small groups with people who I can trust, people who I can be real with, people who I can share my joys and my struggles, people who I can lean on when times are tough, people with whom I can share both comfort and challenge, people who I can partner with to love and serve God. God designed us to thrive in these kinds of faith-based small groups where we can feel and experience the true nature of God's church. Unfortunately, many people today are living in suffocating isolation. While we are more connected than ever via technology, report after report is telling us people are actually more disconnected than ever. Our growing reliance on technology rather than face-to-face interaction is leaving people feeling more isolated, whether they realize it or not. Our online interactions tend to foster competition, comparison, conflict, more than they do genuine connection. combine all of this with the American value of individualism, and you have the perfect recipe for loneliness and isolation, which studies are showing are having a negative effect on our health and our sense of well-being. Now, we don't have to scrap technology or get rid of social media. Those have positive applications. However, it would be wise to listen to the advice from God's word. Scripture warns about the dangers of not meeting together and reinforces how God designed us to thrive in faith-based small group communities where we can truly feel and experience the nature of God's church. So in the remainder of the message, I want to highlight some powerful examples of small groups in the Bible and then invite up some of my small group buddies to share their testimonies about small group. First, let's look at a few powerful examples of small groups in the Bible, starting with God. You may not have thought about it this way before, but God is a small group. One mystery revealed to us through Scripture is that our God is three in one. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, God the Holy Spirit, all intimately united together in love and purpose. At the foundation of God's being is a relational group that loves one another, supports one another, works together. God is a small group. Since we have been created in God's image, it shouldn't surprise us that God designed us to best thrive in a faith-based small group community. In Genesis 2:18, God said, "It is not good for man to be alone." And so God created marriage, and the human family became the very original faith-based small group. And even when the human family failed God and brought sin into the world, God still used the family small group to usher in his plan of salvation. It was the small group of Jacob's 12 sons that became the 12 tribes of Israel, the nation through whom Jesus came. The Bible has many other examples of small groups outside of the family. Probably one of my favorites is Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We fast forward to a time when Israel had turned away from God and was conquered by foreign armies. Daniel and his three friends were exiled to live in the foreign territory of Babylon. Far from family, from their faith community, these friends formed a faith-based small group together. And it was in their small group that they found the strength and the support to live for God in a pagan culture. Together, they challenged unhealthy dietary standards, challenged idolatrous practices, unjust laws. Together, they survived fiery furnaces and lions' dens. Together, they gave powerful witness to God's presence and power with us. Then fast forward to the New Testament. When Jesus came to earth, one of the first things he did was form a small group. Yeah. He invited 12 people to be in his small group. We now refer to them as the 12 disciples. More than anything else that Jesus did while he was on earth, he invested in this small group of 12 people. They hung out, ate, prayed, learned, cared, served together. Jesus' small group was anything but perfect. All of them at one point let Jesus down. Yet he never gave up on them, nor did he give up on the importance of small groups. After Jesus paid the punishment for our sin on the cross and defeated death by rising from the grave, his main strategy to share the good news with the world was his small group. What? Jesus sent his disciples to go make disciples. Translation, he sent his small group to go make small groups. Why? Because it's one thing to hear the good news and another to feel it. It's one thing to know the good news and another to experience it. And so just as he had done with his small group, Jesus sent those people out to form small groups where other people could feel and experience the true nature of the church. We're here today, thousands of miles away, because of what God started through one imperfect small group of 12 people. Imagine what he could do through our small groups. The early church continued to foster small group life. We're told in Acts 2:46 and 5:42, the believers met as a large group in the temple, and they met as small groups in homes. This way they could have corporate worship while still maintaining close community. And they really needed the support of their small groups to face the temptations and trials of life. And many New Testament authors, they warn about the danger of not meeting together and reinforce how God designed us to thrive in faith-based small group communities. One example is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. The author writes, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." At the time of this letter, the church was beginning to face intense persecution for their faith. The reason they were not meeting together wasn't because they were busy or they had something else better to do. It was because they were scared of being discovered, and they feared losing their job or home or family or even their life. Sadly, people today are facing persecution for their faith. Our hearts go out to the Jewish community that was targeted in Pittsburgh. As people of faith who have persecution in our faith history, I think we should be on the front lines, standing with the oppressed and calling for an end to hate of any form. There's a solidarity event that's happening this Sunday at 7 p.m., hosted by Congregation Beth Shalom right here in Naperville. I plan to attend, and it would be awesome if we had other people from Good Shepherd to be there in solidarity. Persecution is real. In the early church, they were facing intense persecution for their faith. Nevertheless, the author of Hebrews writes, it's worth the risk and the sacrifice to meet together in small groups. Because it's in small group that you have other people who can help you hold on to faith when you can't hold on yourself. You have people who can pick you up when you fall down. People whose shoulder you can lean on when you're weak. People who can hold you to a higher standard than the world gives us. People who can challenge, motivate you to act on your faith and be a beacon of God's love and good news in this world. All of us need a small group like this in order to survive and to thrive. I want to invite some of my small group buddies to come and share their personal testimonies about small group. And while they come up, I'll briefly introduce them. I've come to know, respect, and love each of these people through small groups. Jerry was in the very first small group that I led at Good Shepherd. He was the very first small group leader that I had an opportunity to mentor. And I had the opportunity to mentor David and Jill as small group leaders. They started a small group of their own. And then they went on to mentor other leaders who launched another group. And Tia leads small groups for young adults in our church. And then on November 14th, my wife and I are partnering with Tia to start a new small group for young couples in the church. And I'm so thrilled to have all of you here helping with the message today. And while the barriers to small group are different today than they were for the early church, there are still fears that keep people away from small groups. And as we talked, we came up with five, and I'd like for you to help me break down those fears today. Fear number one, I can't commit. Would you help me break down that fear, David and Tia?
When Jill and I were originally thinking about signing up for small groups, we had a lot of these fears we'll be talking about too. But for me personally, this fear of commitment was pretty high up there on the list too, because we had no idea exactly what it was that we were signing up for. But through this time, though, we've come to realize that although small groups are a commitment, it's not as big of a commitment as we were originally thinking. Our small group is designed with families of young children, just to be able to be a support for the for that time of our lives. And we try to take some time off in the summers. We try to take some time off in the Christmas season. We also just try to make sure that we're developing some time for fellowship, too, by having some date nights or having family events or even service opportunities, too. So although that consistency and commitment is something that's crucial, I would encourage you to not let that be something that holds you back from joining a small group.
Yeah, so if you fear that you cannot commit, you're not alone. There's many young adults that I work with on a regular basis that have a hard time committing. And the reality is that there's just so many great opportunities, people, and organizations out there that demand our time on a regular basis. And so what I find most reassuring about small groups is that when you first walk in the door, you're not signing a contract. You're not signing a piece of paper that says, Tia, I'm going to be at every single small group going forward. And to me, I know that that's really assuring, and to others I work with as well. So we just encourage the young adults to come when they can. Now, David and I were talking that commitment is so important, so don't get us wrong. But we do understand that life happens, and if you need to miss a week or two, then that's totally okay. The young adults know that as soon as they walk back in the doors, they'll be welcomed when they realize just how much they missed being in community.
Fear number two, I won't know enough. Could you help me break down that fear, Jerry and Jill?
Yes, I won't know enough. Well, I'd like you to take a moment and think back to when you first got your driving permit. You got behind the wheel that first time. Your palms were probably sweaty. Your mind racing with doubt. I have no experience, no knowledge. How will I learn? Well, sitting next to you was probably a parent or a grandparent or even a neighbor, and they were there to help guide you, get you the experience, and get you the knowledge. So the first time you come to a small group and you sit down at the table, your palms may be sweaty, your mind racing with doubt, I don't know enough. But there's a leader and other members in your group that'll be there to help guide you as you gain the knowledge. 366 times in the Bible, God said, "Do not be afraid, I am with you." So as you pray about joining a small group, look for the sign the Holy Spirit's holding up today. It says, "Wanted, small group members, no experience needed. Apply at Good Shepherd."
I think it's important for us to keep mentioning that there's really no prerequisite needed for joining a small group. And in our small group, no one's considered to be an expert but an equal. For our studies, we use resources that allow us to learn from the experts. And I've been impressed at how all of the studies that we've done so far can apply to anyone no matter where they're at in their faith journey. And I think that that's really the point, is to learn and grow together in our faith, not necessarily to start off as a theological expert.
Fear number three, I won't know anyone. Tia, Jerry, could you break down that fear?
Yeah, so the fear of not knowing anyone is so real. Like oftentimes when we're trying something new, our doubts and insecurities can quickly get in the way. And you start to ask yourself questions like, is there going to be anyone I know there? Who am I going to connect with? And will anyone actually be able to relate to me and my story? And those doubts and insecurities were crossing the mind of my good friend Alex, who I've had the privilege of getting to know over these past few months. And a couple weeks ago, I asked Alex, I was like, "Hey man, like, what's your favorite part about the young adult ministry small groups?" And you know what he said? He said, "The community. Tia, this is the first time in my entire life where I actually felt like I belonged." And to hear those powerful words out of his mouth was just a really neat thing, to know that my 20-year-old friend finally feels like he belongs somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so Alex continues to make relationships on a weekly basis with new friends, but more importantly, he draws closer to the Lord through this authentic community that we have.
Tia, I think we all have a spiritual comfort zone that we like to stay in, but there's only one way to expand that spiritual comfort zone, and that's to follow God's path and take a leap of faith. When you join a small group, you're going to take a leap of faith. You're going to meet other Christians, and you're going to learn to share new friendships, all while experiencing God.
Fear number four, I don't want to share. Jill and David, would you break down that fear?
I can really relate to this fear because I'm an introvert and very shy by nature. However, I quickly realized that there's no expectation for one person to answer every single discussion question during a small group meeting. And there can really be so much to gain by just being present during a small group and listening if that's really what your comfort level is at first. In our small group, we welcome our members to participate however they feel comfortable. But I think that it's natural for us to have that fear of judgment from others. But for me, when I let go of that fear and I participated, it's been so rewarding.
I think a lot of times, too, that people really sell themselves short through their fears. And I feel like when we do that, we're really allowing Satan to take control of our lives rather than truly submitting to what it is that God's calling us to do. Jill and I have experienced so much of just God's support and strength in the time that we've just taken a leap and trusted in him. And I have no doubts that everyone can have that same experience too if you're open and willing.
Last fear. Fear number five, I will have a bad experience. David, Tia, would you break down that fear?
Yeah, I'm sure this is a fear that's a reality for a lot of people. But for us and a lot of others that we've talked to too, we've had so many great experiences from being a part of small groups. I think Good Shepherd offers a really wide variety of group types, too. As I mentioned, ours is designed around families with small children, but there's other groups that are built around age or stages in life or even just where your home location is, too. So the nice thing about that, too, is if there's an opportunity that you try and it doesn't work out, that's okay. Jill and I have been a part of three or four different small groups since we've been a part of Good Shepherd, and not every one of them has been a perfect fit for us. But we, every time when we are inviting someone or having somebody new come to our small group, we try to just encourage them by saying, we're happy that you're here, but we also completely understand if the fit is not going to be there and if you want to move on and try something else too.
Yeah, so David and I have been talking, it's so important to have a really good fit with a small group, but some people have had really bad experiences in the past, and unfortunately, a lot of young adults I talk with actually have been so hurt and broken by the church. And one of my dear friends, Rebecca, has had some rough circumstances as far as these so-called Christians. And so when I first was like, hey, Rebecca, you should come check out my small group, she said, no thanks, Tia, that's just not my thing. So I got to hear her out a little more and get to see her story and where she was coming from. And she said, Tia, what if these Christians hurt me again? What if I'm in a small group and we're all studying the Bible and I don't even know where Philippians is? And so as we kind of wrestled with these fears and these doubts and these insecurities, persistent Tia kept on asking her. And eventually she said yes. And she took that first step and she was willing to give it another try. And so I'm extremely proud of her for doing that. Because now, today, Rebecca is so grateful that she has a place where she can ask these tough questions, where she can share her bad experiences, and to know that the people in this community will really welcome her for who she is. And so I'm so proud of Rebecca, and I'm so grateful that she did not let her fear stop her from pursuing the Lord.
So now that we've addressed some of the fears that keep people away from small group, I'd love it for you to share some of the reasons that keep you in a small group. And Jerry, we can start with you.
You know, everybody comes to a small group with different levels of experience, knowledge of God, the Bible, the church. But we progress in a small group at a pace that's comfortable for everyone, and everyone's input is valued. You'll get to meet new Christians, but you'll also get to celebrate the highs, the joys in each other's lives. You'll get support from your small group in those lows that we may experience. So the most important thing that you'll find in a small group is prayer. Prayer is intentional, and it's actually a core value of a small group.
So one of my favorite parts about being in a small group is building this authentic community that I've been sharing a little bit about. I love just being able to walk in a room and with 15 people that I have no idea who they are, and then after a few months realizing that these are some of my best friends and we're going to go grab dinner every Friday night. To me, that is the beauty of small groups. And I also love just being challenged by my peers to take the word of God that we're studying every single week and actually apply it to my everyday life.
And for me, I'm someone that likes to be challenged, to continue to grow and continue to move forward. And small groups has really provided an opportunity for me to continue to be challenged, but also to challenge others to grow in their faith too. In small groups too, God has really called Jill and I to step out of our comfort zones on so many different occasions, this one included. But it's been so rewarding to be able to just experience God's grace and then how he's just continued to carry us through. And being a part of small groups has given us that consistent reminder to focus on what's truly important in life too.
And from my experience with joining a small group and becoming a leader of one, I've learned that there's no better timing than God's timing. Shortly after David and I got established with our small group, we found out that we were expecting our second child. And that pregnancy became high risk quickly due to several serious medical complications. And because we were established with our small group, we were able to have that extra support, knowing that those people were going to be praying with us and for us during such a stressful and difficult time really carried us through. And I think that there's no greater strength than the power of prayer and faith when you're in an uncertain situation like that.
So speaking of God's perfect timing, we have a perfect opportunity coming up for everyone to engage with a small group. In January, we're going to partner with over 500 churches in our area to do a series that explores seven big questions in faith. Every week during that series, we're going to have small groups meeting to dive deeper into the questions through prayer, scripture, conversation. Take a look.
Why were we put here?
I think everyone wants to know, why were we put here? Why are we on earth?
Let me put it this way. I'd like to think that God is real.
I spent so long under a storm cloud.
In a word, what are you looking for in life?
What is my life supposed to look like? What am I supposed to do with my talents and my gifts? And how am I supposed to be a part of this big, huge world with 7 billion people? Do I have any role to play in that? That's the question people are asking.
And a glance into your eyes is all that I need to climb to my feet.
People have a desire for a sense of wonder. People have a desire for a sense of love. People want to figure out if something's true or not, and who can they trust.
I would say that God put this curiosity in all of our hearts. I don't think it's a bad thing that we look at other options and look down other roads to try to figure out exactly why we're here or what our purpose is in life.
People here don't want to go to Bible study. It's not that, it's just a good conversation about life.
We can have superficial conversations all day long, but when you're asking about something transcendent and something mysterious, you kind of hear people's longings as well, and their dreams and their desires, and you hear their troubles and their fears. And I think we're more authentically human when we start asking spiritual things.
I think I know what I believe, but I still wonder about a lot. So this is for me as much as it is for you.
If you are already in a small group, this is a perfect time for your group to join with our church and hundreds of others to explore this content together. And if you're not in a small group yet, this is a perfect time for you to try one out. To that end, if you believe small groups are important, maybe this is a perfect time for you to help us create space for other people to experience the blessings of small group. That could mean welcoming new people into your group, or even maybe God's tapping you to step out and lead a new group so that other people can have space to come and be a part of that. We're going to need lots of new groups to accommodate everyone. And we believe that God can use anybody who's willing to lead a group. We have a training session on December 1st to help equip you with everything that you would need to run and host an Explore God small group. And Jerry and David, I want you to speak to anybody who thinks, nah, I couldn't possibly lead a group.
Well, first let me tell you the small group study that we're doing today in our group is if you want to walk on water, you've got to step out of the boat. So I want to take you back a few years to when I lived in Michigan. I was asked to be a part of a call committee to find a new pastor because ours was retiring. As I sat in those meetings, listening to the proposals, the questions that they wanted to ask, the Bible verses that they would talk about, it became real evident to me I was totally inadequate in my knowledge of the Bible and the church. I kind of felt like Jonah inside that big fish. How did I get myself into this predicament? But I wanted to learn. Many years later, transferred here, came back to from Michigan, came to Good Shepherd. Right after Pastor PJ came, he had a table set up to learn about small groups, come talk about small groups. Well, the Holy Spirit must have been giving me a push that day because I walked over to that table, talked with Pastor PJ, and when I turned around and walked away, I was in a small group that he led with a bunch of people I didn't know. So I'd stepped out of the boat. After many months during in that small group, Pastor came to me with a request, that he and I work together for me to become a leader. Well, I thought, well, that's not too bad because he's in the group, so I'll have him for my support. So I stepped out of the boat again to lead. But then we talked about him going on to start a new group and me leading this group on my own. That was really stepping out of the boat. And today I'm sitting up here in front of everybody, a whole lot of people that I never envisioned doing. But the great thing is that God has always been with me, saying, do not fear, I am with you. You too can lead. Step out of the boat, reach for God's hand, and he will be with you.
I think it's important to note, too, that there's really nothing special about each and every one of us. We're simply disciples of God who are open and willing to follow whatever it is that he's calling us to do. 3 years ago, Jill and I never would have been expecting to be sharing this story with you too, but God just continues to challenge us and we continue to just accept whatever that is and to be willing to go forward with it too. And this journey has been so exciting and so rewarding, especially just looking at Jill too. When we signed up for this, I was the one that was excited, ready to lead, ready to go out front to share everything. And Jill was excited to be behind the scenes, not anyone knowing anything that she was doing and to just to stay unknown. But God's really been working on just in her and her leadership ability to the point where she's led some of our small group sessions through prayer. She's led through our discussions as well. And it's been just completely transformational. As I said, I like challenges, and PJ has challenged me in so many different ways just to keep going. So I want to pass that on to you. What is it that God's calling you to do? Is God calling you to join a small group? Or is God calling you to consider even leading a small group too? And I'm here again to tell you, you can do it.
Amen. So here's your step. Want you to, if you're interested in being a part of the Explore God small groups, whether you're in a group, whether you're not in a group, want you to use the pink Connect card and check the box small group. This doesn't sign you up, doesn't commit you. All it does is lets us know and we can send some information to you so you can learn more about it and how you can be a part of that. We're going to give you an opportunity right now to pray, to listen how God's tapping you, and to fill out those cards, and then I'll lead us to the table. So take some time with God.